Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with the urgent prophecies of the last days that have come to us through the intercession of the Mother of God. As we know, Jesus and His Holy Mother have come to us in our time with an urgent and pleading message for the world. From the years 1970 through 1995, they would appear at the Holy Grounds of Bayside in New York and deliver to mankind a number of prophecies that are about to unfold in our time. Our Lady says that we are in the last days, just before the second coming. These are the days of the apocalypse. Our Lady says that the quakes, the floods, and the elemental disturbances are now increasing as part of the overall plan of God to now awaken the world to the urgency of our times. Already we have seen the devastation wrought by Hurricane Katrina, and now we have Hurricane Rita following right on its heels. Our Lady has often said that there will be accidents that are not accidents. And in our recent programs, we've tried to bring home how the recent disaster to the Gulf Coast was no accident, but was a message to the nation that we clean up America, though it doesn't seem that the nation as a whole is getting the message because of the spiritual fabric of our time. One of the things that characterizes these last days is a false sense of security about sin, where we feel we may offend the Creator and enjoy the pleasure of sin, and then think that we're going to be saved on account of it. And this thinking has been largely brought about by the various cults and religious sects of our time, to mention a few: the born-again cult, the Pentecostals, the Charismatics, and some of your so-called Bible fundamentalists, which aren't always so fundamental. Now, these groupings all have one thing in common, and that is Martin Luther. He is the founder and common denominator behind all these various religious cults, sects, and organizations, which have been set up from the beginning to protest the one true church under St. Peter. And of course, Martin Luther taught that you are not saved by your works, nor are you condemned by your sins. As he himself states in one of his famous letters, and this really sums up his doctrine here in a few words, where he says, quote, "Be a sinner and sin boldly, but believe and rejoice in Christ even more boldly. No sin will separate us from the Lamb, even though we commit fornication and murder 1,000 times a day." And that's from the American edition of Luther's works, volume 48, page 282, just in case you think we made that up. Here the poor wretch incriminates himself before the eyes of his Maker. He's so miserably blind with pride that he doesn't even realize what he is doing. What Christ said of his persecutors would apply here when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." However, Revelation has it that Martin Luther was not forgiven, but was banished to the abyss with some 10 million souls, because they foolishly followed this deceptive lure that Christ's passion automatically won salvation for all, regardless of their sins. However, when it is said that Jesus died for our sins, it is not to be understood that Jesus died so that we may sin. He died, rather, so that we may never sin again. In the message of February 10, 1976, Jesus reminds us of this solemn truth, where he says, quote, "Do not fall into the trap set by Satan by misleading you into a false security because of my sacrifice for mankind to open the gates of the kingdom of your God. Many are called, but few are chosen. My sacrifice guaranteed eternal life to all, but all shall not enter. For many have rejected the message of your God from the beginning of time, and they did not enter. You have a false security that all is forgiven. But is this not sheer insanity and sin to believe that you may offend your God and break his rules and enter? What manner of life would there be in your kingdom of heaven? All will enter by merit." Unquote. Christ's mission when he was on earth was prefigured by the mission of Moses when he led the people out of the bondage of Egypt. So too, Christ's mission was to lead man out of the bondage of sin. His passion opened up the gates of heaven and provided man with a way out from his sins, but we have to leave them behind. As the Savior said, "Come, follow me." He didn't say follow our lusts and our passions, because as St. Paul reminds us, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Again he says, quote, "Know you this and understand that no fornicator or unclean or covetous person has inheritance in the kingdom of God, Ephesians 5:5. And by fornicator, he means any person or parties, whether they be teenage sweethearts or senior citizens, who are engaging in sexual activity without being lawfully married. As God sees it, they are giving themselves to disgrace, and as such, they must be banished from his grace. And this is what mortal sin does to us. It separates us from the friendship of God, which is why it is called mortal, because it kills the supernatural life in our souls and puts us on spiritual death row. A person deliberating a dirty sin, such as going lewd in front of others or marching in a gay parade, can be compared to a person standing at the edge of a cliff, deliberating his jump. It is suicidal. Temptation is holding him fast as he begins to slip and weaken under this fear. Then he finally gives in to despair and jumps to his death. And that's exactly what we do when we commit a mortal sin. We cowardly surrender and yield up our soul to the devil and plunge ourselves into hell. It is, in the truest sense of the word, suicidal. Because we allow temptation to get a hold of us and to intimidate our being until we finally gave in to despair and plunge to our death. For those who have had the misfortune of falling into mortal sin, they always have the recourse to Christ's passion, to turn away from their deeds, that is, to honor the passion. As Christ said, we have to come to him like little children and ask his help and forgiveness, otherwise we will not be forgiven. Christ may be Savior, yes, but he will not save us unless we obey what he says, like little children. As he told the people, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you?" As he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14:15. This is how man is justified, by the obedience to Christ's commandments. What good does it do to call him Lord, or to believe he died on the cross, or that he's the Lord of heaven? The devils know that too. They're in hell. Doesn't do them any good. And they're there because they disobeyed. The mission of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside is to provide for your spiritual needs. And our catalog of religious gifts certainly reflects that. Of paramount importance is the brown scapular, which Our Lady has asked us all to wear in these dangerous times. You don't want to leave home without it. Our 100% wool Crusader scapular goes for only $2.95. And with that, you'll want to order your chain link wooden rosary made in Italy. It goes for only $6.95. And for an additional 95 cents, we can send you the St. Benedict medal and Our Lady of the Roses medal to complete your armor that you want to have on your person at all times. For your home, we provide you with the 2-inch wooden crucifix for your doors. Goes for only $1 each. For your listening edification, we have some inspiring audio cassettes and CDs that are bound to captivate you. Of particular interest is our 60-minute report on the great tsunami that devastated parts of Southeast Asia back on December 26, 2004. This includes startling predictions from Veronica 30 years ago and shows how this is a divine warning that must be heeded if we are to avert future disasters, and how this was an act of mercy to rescue the children from the evils of sexual abuse and slave labor so prevalent in Southeast Asia. This goes for only $4.95 CD, $3.95 audio cassette. For those wishing to learn more about our saintly seer, Veronica, you'll want to order our 70-minute tape entitled The Warmth and Humanity of Veronica of the Cross. In a moving dissertation, Michael Mangan focuses on the compassion and down-to-earth humanity of Veronica and how she had to earn her crown through personal struggle. Veronica's close worker and longtime friend, Mary de Blasio, provides an inside look into Veronica's personal character. This also includes a stirring homily from Father Robert Skirla, former International Blue Army chaplain, on the integrity of Veronica and the Bayside message. Also, this joyfully recounts the glories and supernatural wonders of the 34th anniversary of Bayside. Again, $4.95 CD, $3.95 audio cassette. And for a mere $9.95, we'll send you our Gloria Laus. This is a fine collection of Latin Gregorian chants sung by the talented Bauer sisters of the Cape Cod Scala Sancta Cecilia. Again, that's available on CD for $9.95, a real steal. For your reading edification, we carry the complete set of Heaven Speaks Today, which are illuminating prophecies and excerpts that are extracted from the Bayside message. Each issue of Heaven Speaks highlights a particular topic of Our Lady's message. The entire set of Heaven Speaks is only $1.50. Individual issues are only a dime each. You can't beat that. And to complete your spiritual reading, we carry the official Roman Catholic Bible. This is the Douay Rheims version, which is the most accurate version of Holy Scripture in the English language. Normally, this would run you $50. It's yours today for only $34.95. This is something that no Christian home should be without. For our complete listing of religious gifts, visit us at www.smwa.org and shop online at our secure store. To order by telephone using your credit card, call 1-888-830-SMWA. That's 888-830-7692. And that number, by the way, is for credit card orders only. And if you call after hours, you can always leave your order on our voicemail. And of course, we invite you to write for the free information. You can send a letter to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or toll-free line 1-800-345-MARY. And now we're going to hear once again from our president, Michael Mangan.
Now, of course, the big news is obviously Hurricane Katrina. Boy, that was some devastation, wasn't it? This is obviously another prophecy fulfilled. This is a phase of the Bayside message that's coming to light, coming to reality. One thing that struck me with all of this utter devastation and pain and suffering and horror of New Orleans and the Gulf region is heaven really means what they say. And they say what they mean, and they mean what they say. Sometimes we're so immersed in our work, and even reading the messages, we become maybe a little bit numb to it, or we take it for granted. And then when we actually see the reality of the messages biting us in our nose, when we actually witness the true devastation and the message really profoundly strikes us to our heart, to the very core, then we go, whoa, wow, this is serious. And then we become solemn. It was actually, obviously, for a while, a very solemn moment, I'm sure, for many of us, because we realize that this is nothing. It's really pale. It's going to pale in comparison to what's going to happen in the future. As severe and as terrible as it is, this is unprecedented in America. Obviously, probably our largest, costliest natural disaster in history. They're talking billions and billions of dollars. The latest figure I heard, it's going to cost $200 billion to rebuild New Orleans. And Bush and the government have already promised that the United States will pay for it. That doesn't begin to count the other costs. Financial, number one, and of course the lives, which we're very fortunate. When you consider what could happen, what could have happened, they originally were saying 10 to 20,000. How many perished in the tsunami? Some sources say almost 500,000 is a truer figure. 500,000. Even the mainstream news media is saying 350,000. Some are saying it's up to 500,000, so we're very, very fortunate. What struck me too is a priest was saying the other day, he says, you know, I've been to New Orleans. He says, I was there on a visit, and people are saying it's Sin City. He says, well, he says, if that's Sin City, he said, every city in America is Sin City, small and large. And as soon as he said that, I said to myself, no kidding, Father, exactly. And if that's what happened to New Orleans, because that's a sin city, what's going to happen to the other cities? They have to brace themselves too. They're not going to be exempt from it. And you ask yourself, well, you know, why New Orleans? Why was that city first targeted? We can look at a few things. There are a few indicators on why the good Lord intervened in such a dramatic way, or allowed it, or permitted it. I'm sure you probably heard by now that they have an annual festival there called Southern Decadence, which is just basically a homosexual party, a convention. And they were expecting 125,000, I think, this year. This hurricane hit 2 days before. I don't think that's coincidental. This hurricane hit 2 days before their five-day gay fest. It's just a picture of debauchery and depravity. These acts are committed right in the streets, they're saying. It's just so brazen. And what is so tragic, too, is that the mayor, the leaders, welcome or invite this into their city. These are people that are sworn to uphold honor and decency, and they're welcoming this in their city. Well, my goodness, how is God going to protect the city? If they're selling out for money, because they expected, I think they're expecting $200 million or close to $200 million from this party. So the mayor's, yeah, come on in. I don't care. You can do what you want. You can even do terrible acts of indecency in the public, but just give us your money. Bring your checkbook. To show you the extent of this, the brazenness of the homosexual movement, is they still held this Southern Decadence Festival. It was like about 10 days afterwards, just outside of New Orleans. Obviously, they didn't have as many people. They had, they said 24 marchers. 24 of these people in the streets. One of them had a sign, Life Goes On. So even amidst of this misery and suffering, they're carrying on like this. And you wonder why the good Lord had to intervene. Interestingly, too, in Louisiana and Mississippi, they were mentioning how, in terms of corruption, in the United States, Mississippi was ranked number one and Louisiana number three for corruption. They had recently indicted in Louisiana, 12 or 14 people were thrown into jail, public officials. A judge was also convicted. There was a governor that was also involved in some massive corruption. They said in the 1990s, the New Orleans police force had the dubious distinction of being the most corrupt police force in America. New Orleans had one of the highest murder rates in the country, they said, 10 times the national rate. Besides the immorality, which is quite brazen and open, they have a lot of voodoo in the occult. A lot of voodoo in the occult. And I thought it was interesting. I was reading in one of the articles someone had sent us that the word hurricane comes from the Indian word huracan, which is evil spirit. I mean, this is the voodoo and occult, what are they doing? They're invoking the evil spirits. This is the dark arts. Well, you're looking for trouble. That's what you just invoked, a killer hurricane, a devastating hurricane. Katrina, we're told, means pure. Oh, this is what Our Lady and Our Lord are saying in the message, that these chastisements or punishments are purification. It's a cleansing. That's what the ball of redemption. What does Our Lady call it? A cleansing comet. A purification of the world from sin and evil. Some interesting points right there. A lady has said in the message how many times? We've been reduced to animals. Charity has grown cold. Well, we saw ample evidence of that, again, in the midst of this terrible suffering. Thuggery, rape, looting, even murder. A gas gouging. Even here, people jacking up prices, taking advantage of a situation. Where's the charity and decency? I mean, this is what Our Lady's saying. This is your proof or evidence that something is amiss. Something is wrong. You all know and understand that. But here's the point, though, is that as apostles and disciples of the latter days, people are approaching you. You have to know how to respond to them, what to say. That's why you need to arm yourself with as much information as possible. Familiarity with the message, with the details and facts, so you can respond in an intelligent way to people. You hear all the time. All the time. How could a loving God allow this? How are we going to answer that? So we can touch on that a little bit. You can reflect on that as we read some of Our Lady and Our Lord's messages and we discuss these points here. Interesting excerpt. October 2nd, 1973. It certainly seems to fit New Orleans. One woman is running and she has a little girl about 2 years old. She is trying to run with her. The water, I see it's washed down the houses because they're floating down. They're floating now. Oh, it's impossible to believe. It's like a huge dam broke and the water's just rushing now over the city. Sounds like New Orleans. Or a foreshadowing. Their dam broke. Their levee broke. Well, there was a breach, three or four breaches in the levee, and that was it for New Orleans. If you remember, too, Veronica had to experience a hurricane. Hurricane Gloria in 1985. And the message of October 5th, 1985. Our Lady speaking, and you escaped, having to suffer the hours of darkness and the sound of the howling of the winds and the rise of the waters. But my child and my children, it will happen again but this time it will claim lives. We've had a lot of hurricanes, of course, since then, but this could pertain to the Gulf Coast hurricane as well. Our Lady's reminding us too, I must reveal my child to the world again that you are to keep a crucifix on your front door and your back door. Now, we spoke with Peter Diaz from New Orleans, and this was about 7 to 10 days later, and I caught him on the cell phone in his car. He had just come back from Dallas, had gone to his house to check on things, and then he was heading back to Dallas. And briefly, the American Airlines had put him up the first night at the airport. Then they shipped their workers to Dallas. Then after 7 or 8 days, if you remember, they were able to go back to their houses and check things out. He had just checked his apartment in New Orleans. He was like, wow. He says, I can't believe it. This is exactly what Our Lady, the Blessed Mother, was saying. And thank you, Blessed Mother, for the message. I had the crucifixes on the door. He had no damage at all. In fact, he said there was little or no water where he was. He said his apartment was totally safe. He was just so grateful. I mean, he was speaking just like, wow, thank you. Thank you, Blessed Mother. I tell the people that this is a chastisement down here. He was saying, too, that some of the people he was speaking to were open to that, were recognizing that. St. Michael, November 1st, 1985, quote, earthquakes will increase, floods will increase. There will be much weeping and gnashing of teeth throughout the world as calamity upon calamity befalls mankind. Our Lady, on September 28th, 1976, you have received these warnings that have gone by unnoticed. Floods, hurricanes, fires, disasters, accidents that are not accidents, earthquakes in places that have never experienced such terror before. How many warnings must the Eternal Father send upon mankind before they will awaken and do penance? I thought this was interesting. Veronica has a vision on July 15th, 1973. There's going to be floods. Floods, floods. Many lives will be lost. Many lives. Floods, heavy rain, the closer the disturbance of the atmosphere. Many will die in the floods. The absence of clear drinking water will bring about a disease of the intestinal tract. Many waters will become contaminated. We'll have to keep an eye out for that.
You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been listening to SMWA President Michael Mangan at our monthly meeting. Well, with Hurricane Katrina having come and gone, the nation has had ample time to reflect on the spiritual significance of this and why this happened. We pointed out in our previous shows how New Orleans is a center of promiscuity with a high gay lesbian population, and how they were even planning this atrocious homosexual event in the streets of New Orleans that was to begin on August 31st, a six-day event, where they were planning to present their lifestyle to the public in the raw. We pointed out the high corruption amongst the city officials in New Orleans and how New Orleans has 10 times a higher murder rate than any other city in America. And yet, with all this said and done, it seems that the American people still aren't getting it, that this was a godsend. And we also pointed out that should the American people turn a deaf ear to these warnings from God, that these events, these disasters, are going to happen again and yet again with even greater severity. And this is what we're looking at now. The good Lord has now sent Hurricane Rita as a follow-up or exclamation point to confirm that these events are no accident, but that these are coming from His providence. Hopefully America this time around will get the message. As Our Lady has said, and as we said at the opening of our broadcast, there will be accidents that are not accidents. We would invite you to write for the free messages and information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. And what we send you are actual transcripts of Our Lady's messages, along with a rose petal blessed by Jesus on the sacred grounds that has attached with the power of cure and conversion. That mailing address again, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website, www.sm.com. wa.org. And may Our Lady bless you.